This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. It's the big one. It's time for Arsenal against Bayern Munich in the Champions League. A huge fixture for the season. Perhaps the biggest. Who knows? I mean, there's still so much to play for in the Premier League. The Champions League has taken something of a backseat because all of our attention has very much been on the title race with Arsenal sitting top of the table with the league in their hands, some might say. I know there's goal difference and stuff, but it's certainly looking very good. But the Champions League, I think, is a real opportunity for Arsenal this season. And we're going to talk all about it in Arsenal's preview show. Hello and welcome to the Gooner Talk. Back again with you guys for another episode of what is our Arsenal preview show. Joining you every single week before each of Arsenal's fixtures. I'm very happy, as always, for these shows to be joined by members from our Discord server to have a chat about Arsenal against Bayern Munich. First of all, I'm joined by Mike. How are you doing, Mike? You good? You well?
Very well, thanks, Tom. Good to everybody. And thanks for
you're telling us that you're getting up at 3 a.m. tomorrow, right? 3 a.m.
Yeah. It's an early one.
It is over there in Australia. Amazing commitment. Always appreciated that. Thanks for coming on, because it must be, what, 1 a.m. there now. So, yeah,
just after. Yeah.
And Dan's may just stayed up to 10 past one in the morning. Dan, how are you?
I'm good. Sorry for being late. Hello, everyone. What's going on?
You're all good. You're all good. We have the patience. You know, when you're sitting top of the table, I'm not anxious about anything. I'm just sitting here, chill, happy, and happy to be patient about things. So it's all good. All good indeed. And did you enjoy your holiday?
It was amazing. Honestly, I would recommend it to everyone and anyone who would love to go there. It was a beautiful
Sierra Leone,
country.
Was it Sierra Leone?
Sierra Leone. Yeah, Sierra Leone. Yeah. Beautiful.
There you go. As a tip. And Garrett, lastly, who's not in Sierra Leone, joins us as well. How you doing, mate? You good? You well?
Yeah, not bad. Buzzing for this game now. So, yeah, looking forward to talking about it.
Indeed, very much so. Let's get straight on with it then. Mike, Bayern Munich, if I'd have been asking you about this fixture, let's say, 7 years ago, you may have been talking very differently about Arsenal's chances of this fixture. Mm. Would it be fair to say that we're favourites for this?
Yes, I think so. But just a little.
How are you feeling about this one?
I think it's Bayern Munich. However poorly they're doing in the league, it's not actually that poorly. They're behind Leverkusen, who haven't lost all year. They're a team full of extraordinarily talented footballers who have lost their way a little bit under a manager who has probably not served them very well. But that doesn't. They've got something to play for in the Champions League. So I think Mikel's message will be underestimate these guys at your peril. So confident, but nevertheless wary is probably where I'm at.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Confident but wary is a really good way, I think, of putting it. Garrett, as Mike touched upon, this Bayern Munich side are having their struggles. They lost at the weekend 2-0 up against Heidenheim to concede three goals in the second half, which means now that, of course, if Leverkusen win this week, in fact, at the weekend, they will be crowned Bundesliga champions. Kind of crazy. I wish we had that kind of a buffer. Could be crowned champions this week. It'd be very nice indeed. That's why Xhaka left. He was just too fed up of it being going to the final weeks at the end of the season. But how do you feel about Bayern as a test and the quality that they obviously still have?
Yeah, I think it'll be a tough test. I think, as Mike said, the message will definitely be underestimate them at your peril. I mean, they've scored buckloads of goals. I know, you can say it's a Bundesliga, but they've got players that can score a lot of goals, and our good friend Harry Kane, who's caused us a lot of problems in the past, there.
Good friend.
Well, I don't know. The adversary may be a better word, but, he'll be there, and no doubt, I mean, look, it's not even him. I mean, look, they have quality everywhere. Jamal Musiala, sensational player. I think there's not really many better words for him. He is unbelievable. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough test. I think the first leg, we need to start it right as well. And I think, we'll need to have a healthy lead going to the Allianz, because that'll be a tough test.
It will, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of scoreline Arsenal go to the Allianz with. Because, Dan, that has been obviously a big part of fixtures down the history of Arsenal and Bayern, is that at the Emirates, we've had some close affairs. We've even beaten, Bayern at the Emirates before. But the last time we met them, we lost 5-1. In fact, the last three times we've met them, we've lost 5-1. Do you think there's anything in the narrative of the history between the two clubs that Arteta may use as kind of motivation here? Or is it a case of these are two very different teams in a very different period?
I think it has to be a clean slate. I think if he goes by the teams that we fielded at that time, even though they had individual quality, as a team, we were non-existent. Whereas this time round, I feel like we're going in as a unit. And Bayern Munich are coming in as a bunch of individuals. So, yes, they have great talent on that pitch in every single area of the pitch. You know, like even from Noah coming back from quite a bad injury to now, being ready to face Arsenal. You've got Alphonso Davies. Him as a left back, he's unreal. His pace will keep up with Saka. At half his speed, so they've got a lot of players, Sane and the rest to boot. But I think we need to go in with a fresh set of eyes. This season's mentality, which is it doesn't matter who it is, we're coming to play our style of football. And hopefully at the Emirates, with zero Bayern Munich fans, we will be absolutely rocking the house down. And from the second the game kicks off, put them on the back burner.
The last time we played Bayern, their front three was Arjen Robben, Frank Ribery and Robert Lewandowski. It doesn't really get much harder than that, does it? It's quite ridiculous. Has anyone looked at the last time we played Bayern in terms of what our team was? Does anyone reckon they can go for it? Does anyone want to take a guess who our goalkeeper was that day? This is on the 7th of March, 2017. Ooh. Anyone know who was in goal?
Was Almunia in goal?
No, it's later than Chesney.
Wow. No
it's
idea.
Colombian.
Then.
You want a chance,
Leno,
was it? Yeah. No, it's a Colombian.
Oh, Ospina
yeah. Was in goal for Arsenal that day. Back four was Hector Bellerin, Stojan Mustafi, Laurent Koscielny, who was sent off in the 53rd minute, and Nacho Monreal was the back four. A midfield three. Of Granit Xhaka, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and Aaron Ramsey, and a front three of Theo Walcott, Olivier Giroud and Alexis Sanchez was the front three. We'd lost the first leg with the same scoreline, as I mentioned before. 5-1 was the first leg, and another quite ridiculous performance. We'd actually gone 1-1. Robin gave Bayern the lead in that game in the Allianz before Alexis Sanchez equalised, with a slightly different team that day. Francis Coquelin, Alex Iwobi both started, as did Kieran Gibbs at left back as well. This time around, Mike, instead of Stojan Mustafi, we've got William Saliba and Gabriel Magalhaes. It's a little different. How are you feeling about our chances of keeping another clean sheet?
We've got the best defence in Europe. So I think we have a fair chance. Obviously, people are going to twitch a little bit about who's playing potentially on the left. Obviously, there's been lots of witterings going on this week since the game of the weekend and the choice that was made. But I think this, it's not just that back five, it's what sits in front of them as well. Be that Rice and Jorginho, I think it's sensational. I mean, four goals since the beginning of the year, and we're restricting teams to, or we're limiting shot opportunities beyond, we must be breaking records at this stage. So, if there's one area of the pitch that I am confident that we'll do well in, it's that area more than any other. So,
four goals conceded this year. Four.
Yeah, that's it. Mm. It's quite remarkable.
It is indeed. I loved the celebrations at Brighton when Gabriel made that block from João Pedro. Absolutely. That kind of showed you, I think, what they're striving for, if you like, this team, and what they're aiming to achieve, this side, in every game. They love defending. You know, by that point, they know they've got the win. You're three goals up with minutes left, and it's a case now of let's hold the line. You know, let's keep a clean sheet, because to the defenders, it's like a goal. It's quite special.
Very much so.
Garrett, very much so. In terms of... sorry, Mike, I didn't mean to cut across you there. I think there's a slight delay. What did you want to say?
No, I was just agreeing with you. I was just saying very much so. I think that spirit is...
cut across people agreeing with me. That's my worst time I could cut across someone. Garrett, in terms of the players that they'll be getting back, because they have been missing some players in recent weeks. Manuel Neuer's been out. I think Mazraoui has been out. I think they're both potentially back. They're both in training this week. So they've been playing with Ulreich in goal, who's all right. In terms of Manuel Neuer, what do you make of that addition to the team? The fact that none of you laughed at that joke, by the way, is despicable. But go on.
I thought you said he's all right. I didn't hear you actually say his name there.
I did say that. Go on, Garrett. Tell me about Manuel Neuer and his difference to the team.
Yeah, look, I think he's a legend of the game, really. And I think, regardless of his age, he's a very, very special player. So, that's not great that he's back. No doubt he'll be ready to face us. I can't see Ulreich being in net, to be honest. I will be Nor. Look, he's wall and net. But I think, you know, we've a lot of attacking potential ourselves. So, you know, I still back us. I still back us to score goals. But I suppose it's a matter of how many we can score and how many we can keep out. So, yeah.
Where do you see the weaknesses in their side?
Dyer.
I was going to say, does it start with E and end in Rick Dyer?
I actually forgot he was playing. Yeah, 100%. It's got to be. I mean, like, look, we've got at him a lot of times when we've played Spurs over the years, and it kind of boggles my mind. He's somehow started for Bayern Munich. I'm not sure I've ever seen a player fall upwards so well, really. But he'll definitely be a point we can get at 100%.
I mean, Upamecano's not had the best of seasons, I don't think. Kim Min-jae has also struggled at the back as well. Defensively, there are question marks. They've got Joshua Kimmich, of course, who's fantastic, can play at right back. And if I was Tuchel, I'd be starting Kimmich at right back in this game, because I think they need that extra defensive solidity. If Mazraoui comes back in, I think that's arguably a bit of a plus for us, because obviously he can be good going forwards, of course, but defensively there's questions. I love this from the mask, kind of Upper Maguire. It's in the nickname of him this season. Brilliant. In terms, Dan, looking more so at Arsenal, of course, coming off the back of such a good run, a win against Liverpool, a draw at City, Arsenal haven't lost against the big six side of the Premier League this season, which is quite the record. That must give us confidence going into such an important fixture. And, I think there's been games earlier in the season where I remember the Lens away game and the Porto away game as well, like Champions League games, European games. There's a different feel to them. And sometimes it's like the Premier League familiarity disappears and the nerves set in and we're not the same side that we showed to be in the Premier League. Do you have a concern that maybe that will happen again here tomorrow?
I'd like to hope it won't. I think we start that nervousness off in the crowd, though, don't we? Like, it's the stadium that gives off that vibe first, and then the players kind of react to it. But I think I said in the Discord earlier on that Champions League is more like a chess game, isn't it? It's tactic versus tactic as opposed to just all out attack every single game. So I think that Tuchel's record versus Arteta isn't that great though. So he's probably going to be more on the tactical side, whereas Arteta's just got to implement his game plan and just do what he does best. It's just take them from the first 5 minutes, if we can attack Bayern Munich, I reckon we open them up in the first 10, they're going to fall apart. Eric Dier and Upamecano, as he was named by that commentator, they have been woeful together this season. And to be fair, the team spirit just looks like it's there to be taken. But it's Champions League. Anything can happen. On the night, they could turn back into their superstar selves and hold out for a draw. But we're not wishing that into existence. They're going to get absolutely slaughtered. It's going to be 5-0 to the Arsenal, and that's all we're saying.
I'm just thinking, we haven't conceded a single goal in the Champions League at home, I don't think, this season. You know, 4-0 against PSV, 6-0 against Lens, 2-0 against Sevilla, 1-0 against Porto. You know, we've not conceded a goal in the Champions League so far this season. It is an excellent record defensive, as I was discussing with Michael a second ago, and that sort of things. That must give them confidence as well, you know, going into the game. There are some selection decisions that are going to be interesting, I think. And speaking of which, we'll go to the lineups as well, because I think there's some interesting picks specifically from Mike, who I think we'll start with, because specifically I want to ask about why Tomiyasu in your team. You can go through the whole lineup, but I'm keen on why Tomiyasu. I'm keen on why Jesus as well.
So, for those listening and not seeing, it's Raya, White, Saliba, Gabriel, Tommy, Jorginho at the base of the midfield with Rice and Odegaard, and Saka, Havertz, and Jesus is the three up top. So, thinking behind this is Kivior and Tommy was the choice for this game. I think that in light of Bayern's flying wingers, who are potentially quite quick, I like the look of either of those. Now, the reason I went for Tommy is that I've sort of tried to take a cue from what's happened over the last couple of games in what Arteta's picks have been. And the thinking is that there's a degree of preparation going on. It's not just about rotation. It's not just about resting players. There is a little more than that, I think, in who's come on and when they've come on in the last couple of games. So in light of the fact that Tommy's come on twice in the last two games, built up some more minutes, and Kivior hasn't featured at all, I'm thinking that Tommy plays the first 60, 70, and then Kivior closes it out. So that was the thinking behind that. I think Jorginho has more than merited his place. And I think the relationship between him and Havertz just continues to flourish. There seems to be a chemistry there, which is very special in terms of what can be created. And Jesus on the... again, looking at the last two games, there's been a rotation on the left between Jesus and Trossard, and there's been a rotation on the right between Saka and Martinelli, which, if you look at our major worry, perhaps, as fans over the last few weeks, it's possibly been what happens if one of our wingers gets injured. And I think this, particularly in light of Havertz's strong performance as a number nine, stroke false number nine, I think that's been a deliberate, in terms of making sure that that's covered in case one or two of them fall down. It's been surprising to see Martinelli playing on the right, but I think he's done very well when he's come on for Saka. There's been no significant drop-off at all, if any. If anything, Martinelli's actually lifted the game again. And the other thing that I can't help thinking is in Jorginho, Havertz and Jesus, we have three players who have Champions League experience at a fairly significant level. And all three of those, I think, have the ability to, as well as Rice and Odegaard, have the ability to keep that team together, to keep them firing as they should. And as I think Dan hit the nail on the head before, the togetherness of this team is exceptional, and is one of the major strengths. And I think
there's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with Mook Delivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
That Champions League experience that those three have got will help cement that, perhaps if there's times where it's where it's a bit tougher. So that's the that's the rationale, I think.
I think it summed up really, really well. Having that Jesus figure in there to provide that experience is key. He's the guy that won us the penalty to open up the scoring against Brighton. People talk about the fact that, you know, his finishing has been a bit questionable, and, you know, he missed those chances against City. I was listening to the Arsenal Vision podcast on the way to the Luton game after the Man City game, and Clive, as he always so annoyingly does, made me realise how wrong I'd been, you know, judging Jesus purely on what he did around the box, because I just hadn't focused on anything else, because all those misses had stuck in my mind so strongly that I'd completely ignored everything else he did in the game, which was just to defend excellently, like a centre-half would, like, as successfully. His work rate and his ethic in that. And if you judge him on a centre-forward performance in that game, which is not really the role that he was playing, you would give him a, you know, 2-3 out of 10. If you judged him on his overall performance, it was far higher. And if you were judging it on what he did defensively in what was obviously a really important point, you know, you're talking about, you know, far higher numbers. So it is interesting. We need him for his attacking threat more so in this game. So I think Arsenal will be on the front foot. And I suppose maybe that's why the rest of us may have gone with Martinelli. Dan, we'll start with you. Talk us through your team.
Yeah, so for those who can't see, it's Raya, White, Saliba, Gabriel, but I've gone with Kvyat instead of Tommy purely based on his pace and his defensive prowess. Like, I think he gives the balance of both. And considering, as Mike said, the wingers are pacey like Coleman and Sane, I think Kvyat can keep up with them. So he will offer a better performance in the first half, and then I think Tommy can come in and close it out in the end. Midfield, I've gone Jorginho, Rice and Odegaard, which seems to be our set three at the moment. I'm one who really enjoyed Jorginho joining the club, and I felt he was going to do well for us, but I think he's actually exceeded my expectations since he's come in the recent months. He's brought a calm act. And I think the forward passing element as well, from a deep point, he's breaking the lines from an early point in the game, or deeper point in the match, sorry, and pushing forward, which Rice does sometimes, but not always. He tends to go sideways. And then up top, I think I eliminated Jesus for the first half, thinking that Martinelli will give us a better attacking threat down the sides, getting in behind into the spaces. And then Jesus can come on towards the end for either Havertz or for Martinelli and close out the game by holding the ball up better up top and just keeping them camped in there off.
Yeah, it's a really, really well point well made again, like with both players. Kvyat's pace, Martinelli's speed is one behind. In the chat box as well, there's some really good points as well being made about the Jesus thing. Rand said Jesus brings the surprise factor. That's what we need in Champions League games. And Zach points out that Jesus was excellent in that Sevilla away game as well, you know, that helped us get the 2-0 win Was it 2-0? I think it was 2-1 in Sevilla. In Seville, it was a really important victory, and Jesus got a goal and an assist that day. So yeah, I think absolutely the arguments for both players stand out. Garrett, talk us through your same lineup as Dan's, but any particulars as to why you've gone with the team?
Yeah, so Kivior left back. I just thought, kind of based on recency, I know Tommy has been, you know, had his minutes built up over the last few games, but I think just based on how the team has done with Kivior in you know, recently, I mean, yeah, as we all know, 4 goals in 2024. Like, I know, look, that's in the league, obviously. Different kettle of fish here, but I still think for this game, I think Kivior's got to be there for me. And then Martinelli at left wing, I think, look, it is harsh to not start Jesus, because I think, yeah, look, he was good at the weekend against Brighton, but I think the Martinelli and Havertz, just kind of the link between those two, I think is quite good. You know, the knockdowns from Havertz. I mean, look, at the end of the day, that's what won us the game against City at home, a knockdown from Havertz. I know Tommy was involved as well. But I think that, just the pace, the knockdowns, and the potential for Martinelli to get onto them and you know, get him behind, it is too good. Especially against, look, as we talked about, Upamecano and Dyer. Look, the potential's there to get him behind. So, yeah, that's why I went with Kivior and Martinelli. And, yeah, look, the rest of the team is the same as Dan. So, yeah, no, I think it's a pretty solid lineup. And I think it's probably what Arteta will go with. But I could see Jesus in there either.
Yeah, I've got the same as both yourself, Garrett, and Dan. Owen thinks that Partey might start because he was completely rested. He's a player that we haven't really discussed in this preview at all. You know, he was a completely unused player in that game against Brighton at the weekend. Jorginho has had issues fitness-wise, especially starting games in quick successions. There's an argument maybe Partey would come in, but he's just not played much. And it's a massive game to suddenly throw him in for what would be his first start of in that Luton game, of course, that he started. He was good in the Luton game. I thought he was good when he came on against City as well, and that small cameo that he had. But I don't know if I would risk it. I mean, if Jorginho is fully ready, I still feel like I'd go with him for this game. And you can still make the change at halftime if, you know, maybe Partey starts the Villa game, for instance, especially with Douglas Luiz not being available now. That might be a midfield battle that he's going to be suited for. So certainly decisions to be made. I've put Declan Rice as my star man. These are the games we bought him for, you know. These are the games in which Declan Rice really has to come to the fore. £100 million invested. He was obviously linked with Bayern Munich. They're very keen on him in the summer as well. So it's a chance to show exactly what they missed out on. But I'm really excited for this fixture. Really keen to see what happens. The only thing we haven't actually discussed either, which we'll touch upon just briefly now before we go to predictions, is the fact that Owen says, I actually think the lack of away fans is a bad thing. Of course, Bayern Munich will not have any fans in the stadium tomorrow. Owen says it's hard to generate an atmosphere when you've nobody to bounce off of and kind of stir things up somewhat. I think there's absolutely an argument in there. I'm hoping that just the raw emotion and the monumental kind of point that tomorrow night is will kind of eradicate that fear, and that Arsenal will, the atmosphere at the start of the game, I imagine, is going to be absolutely unbelievable. And if Arsenal start fast and get, you know, who knows, an early goal, it can only do greater and greater things. Especially if Arsenal keep the energy up high, the crowd energy will flow with that and hopefully be something of a feedback. Anyone have any really strong thoughts on the fact that there'll be no Bayern fans in the ground?
I don't think it's going to change the way the Arsenal fans report. I think if anything, it's going to make them louder, because now, yes, there ain't no one there to bounce off of, no one there to silence, but we're trying to silence the players, not necessarily the crowd. So I think this is the only opportunity we'll get where the 12th man as such is really in effect. We are the only ones there. So everything we do will be heard, will be felt. And I think I read a passage earlier on saying that there's been a massive march before the game as well, where fans are being invited to meet up at a specific point and march all the way to the stadium. So it's going to be good. And I reckon that the atmosphere, we've been waiting for this so long. Why not? We need to go for it. We need to generate that energy for them. You know? So why not?
Yeah. That's a fair point. Garrett, thoughts quickly?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, look, the occasion, I think, will really set the atmosphere. I don't like the... I can kind of see it, you know, the back and forth between the fans. But I think, as Dan said, it is kind of just, we want, you know, it's a 12th man. We want to try and getting in on the players more so than the fans. So I think, yeah, I think the place will be rocking 100%. I mean, it's been 14 years. It's been far too long since we got to a quarterfinal. So, yeah, no, I think the place, the atmosphere will be rocking regardless. And, yeah, an early goal, I think, will set the place alight, to be honest.
Mike?
Arteta has a big role to play in this and how he sends the team out. If the team sent out with an instruction to get busy from the first whistle, absolutely.
That's right.
I think that is going to be pretty crucial. One, if that starts, we get a sniff of a victory here. The crowd's going to lift automatically, I think. I'm putting it all on Arteta.
There's a weird part of me that wants the players to kind of walk out, and as soon as we finished all, like, you know, the ceremony stuff, shaking the hands, I just want every player to go to each corner of the ground and just start whipping the fans.
Going mad.
There's something to be said, maybe an over emotional state. Maybe you can, and sometimes it doesn't set you up in the right way. I remember, I think it was Pep Guardiola on the documentary about Barcelona before the Man United Champions League final, said they showed them this really emotional video just before they went out about kind of the journey they've been on, and it really kind of emoted kind of motivation, but also kind of a sense of, wow, like, how big of an occasion this is. And Barcelona were terrible, like, in the opening parts of the game, because they were just so emotional from what he'd shown them that they'd lost focus. So it's an interesting balance, I suppose, where you have to try and find the way to motivate a team and the crowd without going too far. Because if Bayern suddenly come out the blocks and shock you, all of a sudden that drains so quickly, and it can from the crowd. You know, an early goal can really drain the crowd, or if you don't start in the right way, it can drain the crowd's energy. So it'll be interesting to see the dynamic from the Bayern side of things without any fans. If they were to, say, score, get an equaliser or pull one back, they don't have the energy from the fans to drag them back in some way. So I'll be intrigued to see what happens. I don't want to be intrigued by them scoring a goal, but if it is indeed to happen, I'll be very interested to see how things are. We'll go to predictions to round things off. Dan, we'll start with you. Scoreline and scorers, please.
You just caught me in a thought. I was thinking a Dier own goal would be great. The stadium would go no, that would be like the fifth goal, like, but that's fine. Yeah, 5-0. I'm hoping, and I'm willing it into existence. I want to see us pound them for the two. I'm sure it was 2 years in a row. Did we not do 10-2?
Well, you lost 5-1 three times in a row, but I don't know if it was 10-2 twice, but it was definitely 5-1 three times.
Double check it. I don't know why, but I have got this memory of 2 years in a row we lost 10-2 on aggregate against Bayern Munich, and it was like same old story or something like that. I could be wrong, but
no, it was 5-3 was the time, but it was 10-2 the last one, then it was 5-3 the time before that, then it was 3-1. Time before that was 5-1 on aggregate. So it's not been 2-10.
Right. All right. Well, so the last one was 10-2, yeah? Well, for that result only, then they deserve a pounding. And I mean, like, a welcome back to the quarterfinals. We have done this all season long. You Spurs boys are no exception. Just because you're not in the country no more, you're getting some. So I'm going to go 5-0. I'm going to say Havertz is going to bag, I think, Saka, Martinelli, Rice and Gabriel Magalhaes is going to get the last.
Nice. Garrett?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a 3-0. I'm going to go, Gabriel from the set piece, same as Dan. I'm going to go Saka, and I'm going to go Havertz. I think he's on a run and he's going to keep it going.
Mike?
I'll go between the two. I'll do a 4-0.
Well, Mike.
So I'll go.
How things have changed. I'll go.
Since I put Jesus in, I've got to have him on the score sheet. So yeah, he's gonna knock one in. Odegaard's gonna kick the scoring off because that's what captains do. I fancy Saka to get a couple as well. So
I'm going 5-1 just for the memes. So you know, we have to hit them back for 5-1, yeah. Do we? Surely that's the obvious prediction we got to go for. I'd love to see that. I honestly cannot tell you how good it would feel to just, as Dan was saying, just pound them. and not just because of the history of the fixture, but also something of a message to Manchester City and Liverpool in the title race of what you're up against. Because I just feel like Arsenal just keep getting written off. I'd like being away being written off because it takes the pressure off, but there is something about, you know, putting a marker down and building confidence and building something of an invincible feeling that you can beat anyone and everyone, especially when we know that it's either City or Real Madrid in the semis, if, and it's a big if, we make it. So that's really important. So I'm going to go 5-1. Goals from Kai Havertz, hat-trick. Thank you very much. I'd love an Eric Dier own goal, but I'll let you have that thunder, Dan. and I'll go with Declan Rice to get a screamer. And I'll go with... who's the fifth goal scorer? I'll tell you what, a Benjamin White goal against Bayern would be great. So I'll go with Ben White just to see what his celebration might be. I'd pull out an England shirt or something. I don't know. That'd be fantastic. And yeah, there you go. So we'll go 5-1 just for the memes. Chat box is very positive as well, which is great to see. Troy 5-0, Peter 4-0, Brad 4-0, Joker 3-0. I hope this doesn't turn into a meme. Steve says 2-0, Troy 1-0, Jason says 3-2, squeaky bum time. Paul says 3-1. We know Kane will find a way to score. That's true. We haven't thought about the Kane penalty that's obviously going to happen. Steps going for a 3-0 home and a 3-2 win away, 6-2 on aggregate. Mars Cannon says 5-1 as well. Granddaddy Good Pulsa says 5-1 to get that revenge. Matt's going for a 3-0. Really wants to keep a clean sheet. Yeah. Away goals aren't a thing, of course, anymore in the Champions League. It was the last time we played Bayern. It no longer is, which I think certainly leans in our favour. I feel like there was a year. Was there a year where we went out on away goals? I think it was 2013. We lost 3-1 at home and then 1-2-0 in Bayern. Yeah. I remember Olivier Giroud scoring in the third minute and then we didn't score until the 86th. I remember being in the local pub with my dad watching that game and I was there and I remember getting back. What happened was I used to live about 25-minute walk from the pub at my old house. I saw Giroud score 3 minutes in. This was before I was 18. The bouncer came in and said, it wasn't before I was 18. I just didn't have my ID on me. And the bouncer came up and said, can I have your ID? And I said, I don't have it. He said, well, you're going to have to leave. So my dad's like looking at me like, well, and I'm like, mate, I'm with my dad as well. Like, you can't kick me out. I'm not even drinking. Like, I'm just watching the game. And I had to run home, get my passport at the time, because I didn't have a driving license or anything like that, and then run back. It took me until the second half had started to do that, and it was still 1-0, and then we still ended up losing on away goals. It's like the worst evening ever. That's why there's so much emotion attached to this specific fixture, but hopefully Arsenal get the job done. Thank you to my fantastic listeners, of course, joining us wherever you are in the world, and of course on Catch Up. But a bigger thank you to my brilliant guests. Mike, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate your time. Tell people where they can find you.
You can find me in the Discord channel. I'll look forward to seeing you all in there. Those of you who are not, get part of it.
Love it. I might clip that. Garrett, thank you for your time, mate. Appreciate it. Tell people they can find you.
Yeah, all good. It was a good chat. Same as Mike in the Discord. And yeah, join up. It's a good crack in there and you get to come on here. So it's definitely worth it.
Lovely stuff. And Dan, any new food channel stuff going up?
Yeah, I'm going to, once we finish on here, I've got some quiet time. I'm going to sit down and do my audio over a dish that I cooked while in Sierra Leone in the traditional way. It was a fun experience learning how to cook the dish. It's my partner's favourite, it's okra. But I'm going to release the video hopefully tonight. I'm looking forward to this one. It's going to take a nice turn. And now I've set up the kitchen ready to now record more content. So yeah, coming forward will be a lot more stuff.
Tell people they can find it.
Yeah, so I'm in the Discord. I'm back in the Discord. I took a little bit of a vacation. But and I'm also on my YouTube channel, which is a Vegan Vital Kitchen, where I do vegan versions of your favorite recipes. But at the moment, we are taking a nice, slow approach.
Good stuff. Well, there you go. Vegan Vital Kitchen. I look forward to seeing it. I've never had okra in my entire life. So it's one to check out for sure. There you go.
It will be.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Do drop a like on the video and subscribe to the channel if you're new. I just want to do a quick shout out. Thank you for the 2,000 likes on this morning show, by the way. Ridiculous. Crazy. I know we do a 1K everyday challenge, but 2,000 is mad. So thank you for that. And I'll be back tomorrow morning to do it all over again ahead of traveling up to the Emirates Stadium for what is going to be hopefully a very, very special night indeed. Have a fantastic rest of your evening, afternoon, morning, wherever you happen to be in the world, or rest of your sleep in the case of Mike, of course, and those living over in the Far East. But thank you for listening. And as always, up the Arsenal. It's the 90 plus minute. All your mates around and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go and you know a late winner's coming. Your mates already got booked for a double dip in and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.